welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
And baby, that's you on a good day.
Now 7 after the hour on the Doug Steffen Good Day program. Again, thank you for all of the wonderful things that you have said and sent to me about my darling Charlotte. It's very gratifying, and it's hard for me still, so I probably shouldn't mention it on the air, but I feel every time I look at the Facebook pages and the postings about Charlotte that I want to say something, and it's actually good. It's like going into the gym and lifting weights or doing whatever. It helps build up my sort of, it's not resistance, but builds up my strength factor, and so I appreciate it. For those who think that I have been silly to have focused so much on a dog as part of my life, I would tell you, you haven't been there or done that until you've been around a dog like her. She wasn't a dog. I never really treated her. Jennifer, all of you have actually.
No. You shared an ice cream cone with her.
Well, it did a lot more.
Don't say
water,
that.
Water, ice cream. We had all kinds of stuff. I remember. That's right. I remember that day we had the conversation. Richie was it Richie or Jennifer was appalled.
I was like, what? It's very funny, actually. I talked about you. I do like 30 other radio shows, you know.
Yes, I know that.
It's,
yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So I was doing one on Friday with Brian Whitman, mm-hmm. from Radio Personality in Los Angeles, and he loves his dogs as well. He had done a cruise with some listeners the week before, and he came in, he said, just dropping to the ground and being overwhelmed by his two little puppies, and they were...
Yeah.
And he goes, so you know what I did? I went to the freezer and I got a big scoop of ice cream and I shared my ice cream with him. And I said, you're not the only one I know that shares ice cream with their dogs. He shares spoons. You shared ice cream cones. So I guess it's a thing.
Yeah.
I was wrong.
No, whatever. It is. It's it was what it is. And who knows? There's some other developments there, which I'll share with you later on. In the meantime, the essence of what's going on today, Mrs. Clinton says she's running for the presidency.
Spoiler alert.
Why we have to spend any time on that second bid for the White House. What happens in the Bush, as far as the Florida options are concerned? You have Bush, who is the former governor, and Rubio, a current senator. So who gets the traction there? Because Bush has great support from the Hispanics. After all, he was one once, apparently.
That's right. I am a Hispanic. You know that they were actually, apparently, Bill Clinton, oh my gosh, Jeb Bush was Marco Rubio's, like,
one
inspiration, his role model. I guess Jeb Bush named Marco Rubio kind of as his protege. So,
really?
Interesting, if Jeb Bush declares his run, then that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. They live two miles down the street from each other. I mean, they're like buddies.
Yeah.
Buddies.
Well, but the Clintons and the Bushes are like buddies, too.
Sure.
And if it comes down to that, which way does it go? All right, who thinks that the meeting that Mr. Obama had with Mr. Castro is a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I saw we have that shaking hands and back slapping. You guys are doing great. Isn't it wonderful? And then what's going on behind the scenes? There are some issues to be worked out for sure, right? Is this something, what was the line from Saturday Night Live? A black guy and Hispanic in a boxing ring. And shaking hands, there was a good line there, whatever it was. So what do we think about this? What do we think about the joining? I'm doing, I wish this, the television camera, sooner or later we're going to have in the studio here. I'm bringing my hands together because I have, how many years, Richie? I've been working with you for, what, 18 years, 19 years? And there has been a consistency in my approach to this. We have been this ludicrous, made-up, phony, we have a problem with the Cubans because they're communist. Meanwhile, we do trillions of dollars a year with a real communist nation, the Chinese. It was just such hypocritical nonsense, only because the Bushes of the world and the Rubios of the world and all the rest of those phony politicians in Florida were pandering to the people who are running Miami. That's all any of that ever was. And look at what stranglehold it had on relations. You know, it'll still be a picnic for American interests, even though the Dutch went in there and the British and the French buying up all kinds of assets. They've not really done a lot to bring the country into a place. It was just sort of like the time machine. When Batista was thrown out, the clock stopped. Castro took over. Country hasn't really grown much. It's been great for them. those guys and their families will be like the Mubaraks and all these other dictators who, when the day is done, have billions of dollars. I guarantee you the Castro family's got a couple of $1 billion stashed in a bank someplace in Switzerland or wherever, Venezuela. So
wasn't, yeah. I mean, I know you just said, I'm curious as to why you blame the Bushes and the Rubio. I mean, wasn't it John F. Kennedy that started the embargo on Cuba?
No, I'm not talking about that. Well, that's not, I'm talking about what the Hispanic population in Miami or South Florida has done to control the political realities of Florida. It had nothing to do with what Kennedy did.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I don't have a problem with it because I'm actually curious about going. I'd like to go to Cuba.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily have a problem releasing it. I do think it's interesting, though. It was an interesting photo op that President Obama is a lot friendlier with Castro than he is with Netanyahu at this moment. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. All right. So we have that in the focus today. Also, there is a lot of, on the social side of things, excuse me, as we spend more and more time, all of us, no matter what our age, focused on social media and the opportunities that present themselves using a smartphone or a device, as we like to call them.
A smart device.
So that always seems to, much of the time, have a positive connotation. But you know, and I know, that there are negative connotations to using this social media, depending on your age and, frankly, your IQ. And I'll explain that with a lady named Laurie Vann in a moment here on Good Day.
Think Green. Harrison with you. The University of California, San Diego, has released a study in which they say they found the cause of cancer and a way to actually ward it off. Reporting online in the current Annals of Epidemiology, they point to a volume of research that suggests cancer develops when cells lose the ability to stick together in a normal way. The key factor? Something so simple, in fact. Lack of vitamin D, they've found. The lack of vitamin D causes cells to basically miscommunicate with each other, allowing them to grow in an uncontrolled manner. Looks like vitamin D allows cells to reestablish healthy communication, ending cancerous growths, even halting cancer before it can get started. Bottom line, healthy levels of vitamin D have been found to slash the risk of numerous cancers by 77%.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Well, do you ever get motion sickness? Well, if you do, it's absolutely one of the most no fun things in the world. Would you like some ways to minimize the yuckiness of it? Here's the science of it. Motion sickness, it's caused by mixed signals from your eyes, muscles, and inner ear. Each is in conflict with the other about your state of motion. What to do? Well, if you're in a car, you want to sit as close to the driver as you can. On a ride at a theme park, you want to look in the direction of the spin. And if you're on a boat, well, good luck. You might want to check with your healthcare provider before you sail for medicinal assistance.
Let's go. Let's boogaloo till we puke.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Find an anchor, hold on to stabilize your muscle signals, look straight ahead, sit still, and hold your head upright. These cheap tricks will minimize the intensity of motion sickness. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
What's the single biggest barrier to your success?
Fear keeps most people from reaching for their dreams, and the most dangerous fear of all is the fear of failure.
Successful people are afraid too, but they aren't frozen in fear. They move forward in spite of it.
They look at every failure as an opportunity to learn, and the faster you fail, the faster you learn. But there's one more secret to their success. Fail small.
Successful people fail small and win big. So don't jump in with both feet. Dip a toe in.
Test one small idea at a time. If it doesn't work, try another. Eventually, you'll find one that does work.
Focus all your energy on it because it's your ticket to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
16 after the hour on the Good Day program. Doug and Richie and Kenny and Jennifer with Laurie Vann, who's a licensed professional counselor. She's a supervisor who's practiced in a variety of settings, including inpatient psychiatric hospitals, outpatient clinics, private practice. She's been a professor of psychology in Dallas, and other areas in Texas. Through the years, she has received a lot of accolades because, as a matter of fact, she's been nicknamed the Teen Whisperer for her ability to work with challenging teen cases. I was talking about new technology and how it is a plus, but it also can be a negative, a minus, mostly because of all the bullying and the things that go on with people who abuse the privilege of having one of these machines. And Lori has been studying the relationship of bullying to teen suicide. Lori, thank you for joining us for this conversation. What are the stats in terms of suicide for teenagers?
Well, it really varies. I've seen some stats that say it's the second leading cause of death for teenagers. I've also seen it be the third. But needless to say, second or third leading cause, that's just way too many suicides occurring that are, you know, these are deaths that are absolutely preventable.
All right, so much of the suicide now is caused by bullying, the things that happen online. But then there are other ways. There are a lot of circumstances in which teenagers are being attacked, not just online, right?
Well, yes. I mean, bullying has been around since kids have been in school, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. And what I hear from a lot of adults is they just don't understand, well, why is it so much worse today than when they went through school? And cyberbullying is much more insidious than your regular schoolyard bullying. When you were at the end of the day, you could leave it when you were in a previous generation. But nowadays, you can't escape the bullying because if you log on to your social media account, there it is. And it's not just name calling. I mean, this is really serious stuff. Threats. I've had clients that have been told to commit suicide, that people don't like them, so go die, go cut. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really serious stuff.
There's a story about a anti-bullying rally. There, from time to time, you see this. There's one being held in Dallas or has been held. There are other circumstances like this. So is there a reaction? Is there a pushback?
One hopes so. You know, my concern is that whenever you've had a suicide, that everyone comes out and goes, oh, well, they were such a great kid, and, oh, we don't understand how this happened. And my thought is, well, but where were those same people kid was going through day-to-day life?
Yeah. What happens if the bullying takes place on school property? Is the school, because it is fostered by what happens, the relationships built in school, does that make the school liable from the family's point of view as to some kind of recompense if something horrible happens, like a suicide?
Well, there have been lawsuits filed against schools or school districts for their lack of action in trying to prevent a child's suicide. In the state of Texas, several years ago, a law was put into place that saying schools had to try to make the environment safer, and that including doing their part to try to prevent bullying.
What if a parent suspects this is going on and the child is not fessing up to it? What does the parent do?
Well, that's not an uncommon occurrence because a lot of kids are actually embarrassed that they're being bullied. And sometimes they also have that fear of, how is my parent going to react to this? And some parents react with a lot of anger and they become a bully themselves towards whoever's bullying their child. Or they might actually blame the child themselves and go, well, why are you a target? Why aren't you doing this? Mm-hmm. Or they might react in some other negative fashion. So I encourage parents to, one, before this even occurs, they need to check in with themselves of, how will I handle this if this happens to my child, which unfortunately, if they have a cyber account, it's much, much more likely to occur. But open communication is always the best.
Important to be open with your children and vice versa. Thank you. Lori Vann here with us on Good Day.